Item 2 is a subdivision and rezoning at 4820 Roblin Boulevard and 521 Dieppe Road under file DASZ 43/2013. In accordance with the City of Winnipeg Charter and the Development Procedures Bylaw, this is a combined hearing and the following item will also be heard at the same time, namely, item 3 is a variance at the said property under file DAV 167318/2013D.
Before we enter into presentations and whatnot, I'm going to take liberty as the chair to just lay some ground rules. And out of respect for process here in the chamber and decorum, I don't want anyone to confuse this with the MTS Center or the Centennial Concert Hall. There is no clapping and or hooting or supporting your candidate. Everybody who's signed up one of these pieces of paper will have a chance to say their piece. We hope you respect both sides of the argument. We have no preconceived decision on this. Councillor Havixbeck and I are going to listen to both parties. And if we have to stay to midnight, we will. And we have done in the past. 2:15 in the morning, in fact, one time. So we are going to break at 7 o'clock. We'll break again at 9:30. If we're still going. One of the things we will ask people to do in their presentations, both for and against, try to bring up new information. Rehashing the same points gets a little tired after a while, and we're looking for new information. And if all the points that you wanted to put forward have already been addressed by one or two or more folks, we will ask you to just say that you're in opposition or you're in favor, and we will take that into consideration. So I hope I've respected the audience by saying those things. We ask you to respect this place, and at the end of the exercise, we hope we'll have a decision that is binding. So I will leave it at that, and we will now go forward. Obviously, when there's a applicant involved that has a lot to say to sort of describe the project, they are prone to go over their 10-minute time limit. So, applicants, I'm going to ask you to do your best to stay within the 10 minutes. I'll give you some leeway, you know, but likewise we will share that with people when it comes to do the opposition. So the process is the applicant gets to do their presentation, then people in support of the application get to speak based on the sheets that we have here, and I see substantially thick pad there, so it's going to be a while. And then when the people in support have completed, then the people in opposition will speak following that. At the end of that exercise, the applicant gets to come back, one applicant, probably these gentlemen I see here before me, to rebut or respond to any information that's been put forward. They cannot put forward any new information, as the clerk has shared with us. So that's how the public hearing process works, and we'll do our best to expedite this as quickly as possible. For those who are looking, and I don't know if you can see from the West Gallery, but there is a time clock above the speaker's chair there, and so that's where the timer is. I think there are also timers beside the podium. Travis, is there one on this side? I know there's one on this side. So you can look to see what your scrolling down time is. So, okay, have I dragged the puck here long enough, guys? Or okay. What we'll do during the first break, those who are interested in coming down and having a look, you'll be able to come down into the chamber from the stairs either side to let you have a better look at the boards. But they can't talk to Councillor Havixbeck and I.
Or you.
And I. For those who are interested, just continuing the stall here, there are public washrooms on the lowest level. So down both sets of stairs to the...
There's one right here.
There's one right here, but if there's a lineup, you may want to go to the lower level. There's also a Coke machine and chocolate bars. We're just trying to, you know... keep you fed and watered here. Anyway, sir, please identify yourself by name and address, and we'll get this party started.
Mr. Palmer is going to introduce the speaker, so.
Good afternoon. My name is Bill Palmer, and I represent the Charles of Red River Masonic Lodge. Good evening, Councillor Havixbeck and Councillor Norman, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to introduce the lead person on our project design team, who will do an overview of the project for you. Giovanni Jeremiah from GW Architects.
Good evening, councillors, and all present here. Yes. My name is Giovanni Jeremiah. I'm at 602 44 Princess. Do you need the area code? Okay, postal code. So my name is Giovanni Jeremiah. I am the principal architect with GW Architecture. Our firm has been working with the Charles Wood Masons in the design and the development of this project. The project is a 64-unit life lease development that will provide much-needed housing options in the Charles Wood community. For those that wish to remain aged in their own community. Just give a little bit of a background to the project. This process started over 2 years ago when we met with the Charles Wood United Church community to discuss if their land could be made available for a senior housing project. This occurred in October 2011. We received overwhelming support from the Charles Wood United Church. A design was developed and we presented to the Charles Wood community an open house, at an open house on April 4th, 2012. What was presented was a four-story, 65-unit development that included indoor parking and additional parking on grade on a two-story open structure for visitors parking and also for parking for the church. As a sponsor of the project, the Charles Wood Masons Lodge would also be located within the building. The height of the initial building was just over 50 feet. Since the property was landlocked, it was proposed that the project be accessible by extending a road from the end of Polaris Avenue using a city-owned right-of-way and property purchased from lots adjacent to the right-of-way. This fit in with the City of Winnipeg, what's known as a shadow plan, which would allow for future development of the rear lots on Buckingham and also Dieppe. A survey was distributed at that open house, comments were noted, and the results were tabulated. Of 150 responses, there were 45 comments in favor of the development, 36 had no response, and 68 expressed concern that ranged from the height of the the height of the proposed building. The relevance of the survey itself was questioned. Maintaining the open space, many were under the impression that this was city property. Increasing traffic, safety of the school children and property. Increase in taxes, decrease in property values, decrease in privacy of lots bordering development, lack of parking, overburdening of infrastructure, ignoring city guidelines, additional noise to the area, increased lighting levels on adjacent properties. As a result of this meeting, revisions were made to the design and options were presented at a follow-up open house on May 31st in 2012. Survey results, along with the revised plans, were presented at this open house. Similar concerns were heard, and again, revisions were made, and meetings with the planning department were held. The result was that with proper design, the planning department could support a structure that was 35 feet high. Thus, the structure was reduced to three floors with a general height of 35 feet. That proposal was presented to the two representatives of the neighboring properties at a meeting held at the Westgate Community Club on September 19, 2012. We left the meeting with the understanding that they would bring this new proposal to their group and come back to us with comments. We haven't received any comments from there. As we further refined the plan, it became apparent that the access from the road off Polaris was one of the main issues, and a new access to the site was found. The access that we found would be located on the property known as 521 Dieppe. It is next to the existing approach to the church, and roughly aligns with laneway behind the shopping mall across the street. We understand that change is difficult, and many of the project neighbors may think that we have not been listening to them. I beg to differ, and with the input by all that have been involved in this long process the past few years, I believe that we have developed a project that will be a plus for the Charleswood community while being compatible with the area. As far as what we're looking for is a subdivision. The Charleswood United Church property will be subdivided into two lots. The new development will be sited on a site that combines the south portion of the present church property and the lot at 521 Dieppe. So our actual site would encompass this, that part there. The rest will remain as part of the church. The site is currently zoned R1L, residential single family large. Under this proposal, the portion of the property that the new family, multifamily development is located on is to be rezoned to RMFS, residential multifamily small. The zoning for the lot that the church is located on will not change. This proposed zoning defines required side yards, a minimum lot area per dwelling unit of 1,250 square feet, and a maximum building height of 35 feet. The site subdivided for this proposal provides a per dwelling unit lot size of 1,442 square feet, which is well above the minimum requirements. As well as the rezoning, we also need to address some variants that the new zoning would impose on the development. The first variance is for the maintenance of a place of worship to permit 17 stalls instead of 106 stalls required. For the construction of a multifamily dwelling unit to permit a height of 38 feet instead of 35 feet. A front yard of 12.5 feet instead of 26 feet. This is at 521 Dieppe property only. No north yard instead of 4 feet. This only applies along the lot and church property line, which is this portion here. And no landscape buffer for a parking area adjacent to a residential zoning district. Again, this applies to the lot between the church and the new lot. As I go, I will be addressing variants 1 and 2. The access. The access to the site will be off Dieppe Road, right here, which is adjacent and next to the approach, the existing, south of the existing Charleswood Church United approach. The traffic flow onto the site will be a short distance from Roblin and will not affect the school or other residents on Dieppe and Polaris. The entry point to the building underground parking will be directly in line with the approach, so cars coming into or leaving the building will not have to circulate the site. So what happens is that the cars come into the drive here, and this is the entrance into the building. So any circulation around that site will be minimal. Now the building height, I know we're asking for a 38-foot variance. for instead of 35. The general building height is 35, and I think if you look at the isometrics, this is a good one to describe to show what I'm talking about right now. The general building height will be 35 feet as allowed under the proposed RMFS zoning. This is the height that any new home in the area can be built to and therefore is considered to be compatible with the surrounding area. The variance to 38 feet is required to allow for a number of peaks that extend beyond the 35-foot height. The height of the building and design of elevations were developed in conjunction and discussions with the planning department. The peaks that extend beyond the 35-foot building height will allow us to provide interest in and articulation of the facades. With the use of various materials and textures and architectural elements, the intention is to minimize the mass of the building. The design shown here tonight, and I think that's important, is basically a massing model. The elevations will be developed along with what was discussed with the planning department, and that work will start in earnest if this project is approved. As far as the setbacks, keeping adjacent properties in mind, we have endeavored to locate the building to minimize the impact on those adjacent properties. We have a setback of 140 feet between these three properties and the face of the building, and a minimum of 30 feet between these two properties and the side of the building. This part of the building that is closest to any of the residents of Dieppe will not have any windows or balconies to increase the privacy to those lots and to those homes. The south property line varies from 55 feet to 25 feet, and that is to give not only a circulation for service vehicles, fire trucks, etc., but also to give a little more buffer to the homes right next to it. On the east side, the building is set back 71 feet from the property line of the Buckingham homes. As the planner points out in the report, these setbacks are well beyond what the draft infill guidelines policies recommend for context-sensitive multiple family infill within low-density neighborhoods. Parking is provided for 200 cars. 17 of the stalls will be located on the church property and the rest of the new subdivided lot. 96 parking spots are required by the multifamily development. 64 of these will be interior parking, and another 15 will be stalls that are located on another portion of the building. So 79 of the stalls will be actually undercover. And I think you have drawings in front of you that show a more detailed parking plan. The proposed development, as far as traffic is concerned, the proposed development will minimally increase traffic in the neighborhood, and any new traffic will be limited to that portion of Dieppe between the new approach and Roblin Boulevard. The Transportation Division of Public Works has determined that this development will generate approximately 223 new vehicle trips per day. At peak times, there will be approximately 8 vehicle trips generated by the morning in the morning and 10 vehicle trips at evening. Dieppe is considered a collector street and expected to carry more traffic than the normal residential street because of the traffic light on Roblin. Public Works has concluded that a traffic study is not warranted for this proposal. Green space. At present, the site is privately owned by the Charles Wood United Church and is not a public green space, as some may think. It is our intention to retain as many of the trees on the site as possible and to provide extensive landscaping in areas affected by construction. We have also been in contact with the Charles Wood Historical Society and who wish to save and protect any of the more valuable trees that will remain on the site. We'll be happy to work with them and our arborist in this regard. With respect to site servicing, our engineers have been working with City of Winnipeg engineers, and they have developed a preliminary plan. There is one in the package that I gave to you, and the site is quite serviceable. And also, just to explain why the loop around the building is that that's to allow for emergency vehicles, and we require minimum radiuses and clearances under the building. I think you'll see here that actually part of the road goes through the building. Now, just as far as the drawings go, this is the site plan that shows how the building is located on the site. There's a good buffer all around it and good setbacks. These are isometrics showing some different views of the building. These are sections taken from Dieppe all the way to Buckingham. The first part is this part of the building where there's the 140 setback in a single-family home. The second one is taken at this point where it's closest to the residence. That is a two-story house that is located there, our building with a pass-through, and then 71 feet to the properties on Buckingham. Buckingham is right here. So that gives you an indication of the scale of the building. The rest of the drawings are quite telling in that this drawing is taken from the street level on Buckingham, and you'll barely be able to see the building above the trees or above the homes. To see the building, we have to go up higher with the view, and you'll see that Charles Wood Church is actually higher than the building. This is the same elevated view from Polaris. Again, once you get up higher, you'll be able to see the building, but from grade, it won't be that much to see. And this also is the same kind of view from Dieppe with the raised view, and that's just a general perspective of the parking area and the building, showing landscaping for the adjacent properties. This is just in concluding, and I'll be very brief, I would like to thank all that have been part of this process that began over 2 years ago. Through this process, I feel that we have put together a 64-unit life lease proposal that will closely align with the policies of the complete neighborhood direction strategy for areas of stability. Charles Wood is a stable community. It's consistent and compatible with the surrounding properties because of the generous setbacks in the height of the building. Requires minor bylaw variances that, according to the planner's report, is consistent with Plan Winnipeg, does not increase a substantial adverse effect on adjoining or adjacent properties, is a minimum modification of a zoning bylaw required to relieve the injurious effect of the bylaws on the applicant's property, and is compatible with the area. And it provides much-needed housing units in the Charles Wood area, providing living options for older adults within a community that has been part of their life. If I may have another minute, I'd like to just address two comments that we keep receiving in the comments. And one is that this kind of development will increase taxes in the area and decrease property values. May I have another minute? What I have in front of me is a high-density development myth and fact book that's been put out by the National Multi-Housing Council, the Sierra Club, the American Institute of Architects, and the Urban Land Institute. With respect to overburdening services and higher tax, it actually is a myth that higher density development overburdens public schools and other public services and requires more infrastructure support system. The actual fact is that the nature of who lives in higher density housing, fewer families with children plus less demand on schools and other public services than low density housing. Moreover, the compact nature of this higher density development requires less extensive infrastructure to support it. And lastly, just to address that many comments were that there would be decreased property value. Again, it's considered a myth by this publication. Higher density development, lower property value is surrounding areas, and that is a myth. The fact is that there's no discernible difference exists in the appreciation rate of properties located near higher density development and those that are not. Some research even shows that higher density development can increase property values, and the backup material is here. Thank you very much, and I'll open it for questions.
Thank you for your presentation. I must say I'm a little disappointed that we get the site plan here at the meeting walked on. Normally this would be a condition that the committee would put on approving a rezoning, and then everybody here would have a chance to comment on it. So we're kind of bypassing that step of having posted on an agenda for a month or so.
In the planner's report. All the drawings that you have in front of you are in the planner's report.
Well, but they're not the same. This is new for these people coming here to see. So that's the first thing. Second thing, I've got a number of questions. So. This came forward in 1998, and the reason the application was withdrawn was that there was insufficient funding to support the drainage that was required. Do you have sufficient funding to support all
yes,
that?
Yes, we have, and there is a drawing in that package that shows a preliminary servicing plan, and it is very feasible.
Okay. In the variance, you're asking for 17 spots being allocated to the church for
yes.
parking. Versus what should be allowable?
106.
Right. What accommodation is
What is happening there is that yeah. The 17 spots we're talking about is this portion remaining at the church, and through a parking agreement, the remaining, what is 104 minus 17, will be in a shared arrangement in the new parking area. There will be a caveat in the agreement to purchase a property. And 96 spots are required by zoning for the 64 units, which is 1.5 times the number of units.
Right. With regard to your public consultation, so you have a typed portion. You mentioned May 31st, September 19th, both of 2012. You had April 4th as well in here. How many in total? How many consultations?
Well, there were three with the neighborhood.
Okay. What were the outcomes of the – what changes?
Considerable changes because, as I mentioned, the if anybody's interested in seeing the tabulations and the results of those consultations, I can hand you over.
Got the handle.
But I think the biggest as I mentioned, and I really mean this, is that over the 2 years, this project has improved greatly, and I thank everybody that has been part of it. And I think the consultations have been part of that, because we started with a 52-foot building, four stories, a two-level parking, etc. And I think we've arrived at a project that is, in conjunction, thanks to the planning department, those that have expressed concern, and people that worked hard on it, I think we've arrived at a project that is quite suitable for the area, and as I said, provides a need.
Okay, so you've dropped the height.
You dropped the height, the 30 feet, 35 feet.
Fewer parking spots?
There's probably a similar amount of parking spots. And we meet the 106 parking spots that we have that the church can share assumes that the assembly hall as well as the sanctuary are full. Okay. Now, I'm not sure how many times a year you'd have that kind of a density with or a occupancy within that building, but that assumes maximum use, so there's plenty of parking.
Okay. Further to you've shifted the design. Initially it was on Polaris, the entranceway. Now it's coming through Dieppe. Can you tell us about any consultation with the school and what's the outcome there?
I'll leave that. I think Mr. Palmer will address that.
Well, does he have a separate presentation or?
Yeah, I think he will speak following me, yes.
Oh, okay. Well, then I'll wait for the rest of my questions.
And I just have to mention that I think one of the biggest concerns was the traffic going into the residential neighborhoods, and I think we've taken care of that with the new approach.
Okay. In the design, I have a question. I was clarifying with the planner. He thought the area that's in X is the elevator. Is that...
Pardon?
Do you have an elevator in the building?
Oh, there'll be three elevators, actually.
Three elevators.
Yes.
Okay. And it's all universal design for
yes.
Okay,
latest standards, all codes, and we, as far as emergency access, etc. I think we worked that out quite well.
And that loop is
is there. It might be used by the residents for dropping off, but it's there generally for emergency vehicle access.
And so the height takes into account handy transit vehicles and
oh, for
emergency.
Sure. This
what is the height?
This
of
height is 16 foot 4, which will height, actually perfect. Accommodate a fire truck.
Yep. Okay. That's it for now.
Just curious, what's your range of square footage between the different apartments?
They actually will all be around 1,150, and they'll be just three or four. One bedroom at about 850, but generally they'll be around 1,150 square feet, two bedrooms, two bathrooms, units.
Okay. In your thinking or in the process of developing this, has the city or anyone ever suggested to you that a right turn only onto Dieppe coming out of the property would be effective?
We haven't got into that, but that's we would have no objection to that.
So left turns would be prohibited to go south on Dieppe.
Yeah.
Okay. That would be something I'd like to explore.
At an amendment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. You and your, we're sort of, Mr. Palmer, I guess you're going to have a few words, but we'll invite you gentlemen back to respond to the opposition at the end of the exercise before we go to making a decision.
Thank you.
And at that time, you can only respond to, no new information will be presented, only response to questions. Okay. Thank you. Mr. Palmer.
It was my understanding that after the project design team made their submission, that we would hear from our speakers, Mr. Van Roon and Ms. Hutton.
Okay. If you have comments to make, you have you this is your moment. So,
well, I have a few things to say. Okay.
Everybody's filled out a form here. So now that the presentation is done, everybody gets 5 minutes. Okay.
Well, the first thing, have correspondence dated November the 13th, 2012, addressed to Councillor Havixback, writing to Reverend Dr. Michael Wilson, the minister of Charlesburg United Church. Reverend Wilson indicates that I'm writing on behalf of the Charleswood United Church with regards to the Charleswood Masons Life Lease Project. As you are aware, the church's participation in the project is only as a vendor of a portion of the land required for the project. The congregation has been kept fully aware of the project since its inception and voted unanimously at a congregational meeting in the fall of 2011 to offer the proposed portion of the land for sale. Support for the project has continued in the church unabated. For many years, we have considered ways to best utilize the surplus land to which the church holds title. Several proposals have come forward and fallen by the wayside. One of the things Charleswood United came to realize when going through our own expansion in 2008 is that we are now as large as we can be at our present site. In other words, we are all aware that we will not use the land for further church expansion. The proposal from the Charleswood Masons allows us to see the land used for the betterment of the community with regards to housing, as well as provides a fair benefit to the church from the proceeds of the sale. I realize that there is much to do with regards to zoning and subdividing the property. I hope this process can be done as expeditiously as possible for the sake of all the stakeholders. Your support is most welcome and appreciate it. Please feel free to be in touch with the church, with the board of the church, United Church, sorry, if there's anything we can offer concerning our role in this project. Sincerely, Michael, Reverend Dr. Michael I. Wilson, Charles United Church. Additionally, I have a letter from Harold Dodds, and Mr. Dodds writes to Councillor Havixback. This is in November the 16th, 2012. Having spent 9 years on the board of Charleswood Senior Center, I become very much aware of the growing needs for additional independent living spaces for seniors in Charleswood. The 2006 census calculations for Assiniboine South indicates 10,000 people over 55 years of age and huge growth in those 60 to 64 years. This puts great pressure on the present limited facilities when healthcare forces people to sell their homes. Many seniors are forced to move out of the area away from their social center, friends, and support. The Masons Senior Life Lease Residence proposed for the Charleswood United Church property on Dieppe offers an ideal solution to meet this need. The property in question is surplus to the church's needs and must be sold. Returns from the sale will provide resources for the church to expand its many contributions to the community. Seniors will have several more affordable housing units in their local area. It appears clear that the project is a win-win for the seniors, the church, and the community. These benefits provide many good reasons to proceed. on behalf of my neighbors who form part of this aging population and a member of Charles United Church, I wish to express my strong support for the proposed project. Its success will improve the quality of life for many citizens in Charleswood. Harold Dodds, 51 Apex Street in Winnipeg. And Mr. Dodds goes on to attach.
All these.
I'm sorry?
We do have all the letters that you're sharing with us.
Yes, I'm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because your time's winding down.
Perhaps some of it is for the benefit of the people attending. And
fair enough.
Yeah. But I do know that they were sent, yes. Mr. Dodds also sent a recent letter to Councillor Havlicek, and it basically covers the same points, but it gives the most recent census populations numbers and indicates the latest census says that the number of people over 60 years of age in Charleswood grew by 25% in the 4 years leading up to 2010. The expansion in numbers was most noticeable in the 60 to 64 bracket, which grew by 28% in that time. The bulge follows a trend for the Assiniboine South community area that was tracked in the census 2001-2006. Those base figures show the number of Charleswood men and women 75 years of age rose 51% over the 9 years. Rose 51% over the 9 years and rose 24% over the 4 years leading up to 2010. The Winnipeg Regional Health Authority created this age breakdown from the Manitoba Health Population Report, June 2010. It shows that 11,780 men and women over 55 live in the Charleswood area in 2010 compared to 9,980 in 2006. The Assiniboine South population rose 5% to 36,380 in 2010. Assiniboine South community is one of 12 in the city of Winnipeg, including the land south of the Assiniboine River between Kennison Boulevard and the Perimeter Highway. The Assiniboine South aging population is broken down as 75 plus. There's in the year 2010 it was 3,038. 2006 was 2,455, a growth of 55%. Age 65 to 74, 3,163 people, 2,575 year 2006, 23% increase. Years 60 to 64, 2,642, as opposed to 2,065 in 2006, for a 28% growth. Total over 60, 8,842, compared to 7,095 year 2006 for a total of 25% growth. The total over 65 now is 11,780 in year 2010 compared to 9,980 year 2006, a total growth of 18%. The numbers, as we move along, become a larger and larger part of the community, and we need to have accommodations for these people. Yes. Additionally, just a quick note. Over the last year or so, the Masons of Charleswood, on days have gone on, and we petitioned and talked to members through the community. A cross section of the community have signed letters that we had sent off to the councillor. A form letter indicating the need for housing, the need to get it moving, the need for the area for seniors to stay here, and we received 1,446 of these such letters in support of seniors housing in Charleswood. We do feel there's a need for it, and I thank you for the time.
Thank you, sir. Mr. James Houston.
Thank you, councillors. My name is James Houston. I am the current master of the lodge, and I have two pieces for you. One is an exhibit that is from the Grand Lodge of Manitoba, I believe. Do you have that?
Yeah.
You do have? Councillor Havlicek, Freemasons in Manitoba have a long history of participating in community projects, ranging from the building of schools and hospitals to many of our public buildings, including our own Manitoba Legislative Building. For over 30 years, the Grand Lodge of Manitoba has annually supplied new vans and volunteer drivers for our Masons Care Transportation Program in conjunction with the Canadian Cancer Society to transport patients throughout the province for treatment. Many of our lodges purchase equipment for hospitals that would not normally be available in their operating budgets. I am pleased to hear that the Masons and Charleswood have recognized the need for seniors housing in Winnipeg, and more particularly in Charleswood. As Grand Master of Manitoba, I wholeheartedly support this project. It is public service projects such as this that Masons throughout Manitoba proudly support. And that is signed by Douglas A. Webster, the Grand Master of Manitoba. And also, you've got a communication number 76 that you received from the school. As principal of École Dieppe, I would like to state that the school has no position in favor or against the proposed construction of a life lease development of 65 units at the corner of Dieppe and Roblin. It has been brought to my attention that the group of people voicing their concerns about the construction report that the school has issues with the potential of increased traffic that this development would create. By way of clarification, the school will remain impartial. Individual constituents are, of course, free to evaluate this proposal on their own and exercise their right to voice their individual concerns as they see fit. And that is from Elaine Giesen from Dieppe School.
Well, we'll excuse you gentlemen, and we are going to sort of start the process now of inviting people in support of the project to come forward and say their 5 minutes, or if in fact you would just like to say in support, we will identify that.
Mr. Nordman, we had two additional speakers that formed part of our agenda.
Mr. Van Roon?
Len Van Roon?
Yeah.
Yes.
And Barbara Hutton?
And Barbara Hutton.
Okay. Well,
we would like them to speak at this time,
sure,
and then open it up to the floor.
You bet.
Yes. Thank you.
All right. So.
Yes.
Mr. Van Roon, please join us.
I'm good. I'll be fast today.
5 minutes.
I have some short visuals that I've timed at 4 minutes and 58 seconds. I think maybe Barb Hutton may want to go
start
first.
Start talking.
Yeah. It's going to take some time to set up the projector.
Okay.
If you want to let Barb speak first.
Sure, Barb would be great. Barb, come on down. Travis, we're good. If it's fine, or unless you're trying to set it up for the camera,
for the
projector.
Good evening. I have to clarify that I was not aware that I was speaking as part of this delegation. I thought I was speaking as part of the public in support. But my name is Barb Hutton. I live at 80 Vanscoy Road. I'm a longtime member of Charleswood. Sorry. Longtime citizen of Charleswood. I am speaking as an individual citizen of Charleswood. I know I've spoken here before under other auspices. I'm speaking on behalf or in support of this project as somebody who is part of the baby boomer generation and someone who loves to live in Charleswood. I think right now there isn't enough housing for people who are going to have to leave their homes. God willing, I'll stay in my own home with the numerous stairs for years and years, but someday I'm going to need to go someplace else. To be able to stay in Charleswood, to have access to the bus routes, to have access to the senior center, to have access to all of the conveniences that are right there at that corner, I think it's a great spot. I also have to speak in empathy and sympathy to those people on Buckingham who feel that their natural area of their large lots is impacted by this. Yes, it is. It will change. But I just read the planner's report today that shows that there is that 40-foot strip that they plan on leaving treed between the backyard on Buckingham and the 30-foot setback to the building, which I think is marvelous. How can you argue with that? So from all of those reasons, for all of those reasons, I would like to lend my voice to support this project.
Thank you, Barb.
Thank you.
3 minutes and 11 left. That was good. My name is Len Van Roon.
I can't have her time.
There's no carryovers.
All right. This is a pretty straightforward application for me to support, though. Again, I sympathize with especially the buffering for neighboring residents. I'm a member of Charles United Church, member of CCHPN, Friends of the Heart Trail, and president of Charles Wood Historical Society. But it's important for me to point out that I speak as an individual with the agreement of my executive, and I recognize the divergence of opinions. So we have our next meeting, and I'll be doing this presentation at our next meeting, fourth Tuesday, and forward feedback and support and ideas. I'm going to spend about 20 seconds talking about Fairmont Woods, which is three blocks towards downtown. And I think it's a really good example of a similar project where changes were made. And when you move in a direction that's positive, I think it should be noted. Bill Clement looked at Fairmont Woods and said, hey, that doesn't look like Charles Wood. It doesn't save enough trees and it's too high. It was lowered. So if we look at the corner, right in the corner of Fairmont there, what they did was lower the height of the units by a story and extended a tree buffer of oaks. We have similarities that I'm kind of proud of in this project. I speak in support of it with conditions because there's a real direction has been made to consult and do ongoing consultation, protect oaks, and establish improved buffers, which is a concern that we're sensitive about. Positive changes, I have five of them. Doesn't solve all the problems, but these have been changed. The tree buffer of natural forest on the east side is substantial. I've walked through it through waste, through chest-deep snow, and hopefully I'll be able to show you about 20 seconds of that. And it does have something that has natural protection. You protect oaks, because if you change the grade or you flood them, they die. And there's some beautiful old oaks, one we're going to nominate as a heritage tree in that area. So there's a commitment made by the architect when I talked to him to either maintain the grade or put gravel wells around to protect them and to see that drainage did everything possible to save them. That's a movement in the right direction, I think. Height of buildings is below 38 feet. That's a positive improvement. And the road access off the up. Again, commitment to public consultation means it's an ongoing process. Traffic concerns, the only thing I'd point out because it's been brought forward is the real issue on Dieppe is when Ridgewood South comes in and we have hundreds or thousands of cars coming through on a collector street. The 62 cars, the 110 cars that come through and turn right, that was a good suggestion, I think is really good. I'm standing at the corner of the building right here, and I'm sorry that some of the other people can't see in the other gallery, but I may get a chance to present this if they're interested where they can see it. You stand at the back corner of the building. The church is fairly far away, and there's some nice bush in the area. So what I'm doing is panning around, and there's two houses on Roblin, one of which may be coming down at some point, and the houses on Buckingham. And there's some really nice oak trees in this part, mostly poplars in the other. If you watch in the back corner, you'll see some deer running through. The last seven times I've walked through here as a church member on church property, there's deer running through the forest. So it's really a beautiful spot that we're saving. This is the heritage tree. It's got a tree fort in the top of it. It's the largest oak, but saving these is something precious to us and will be in other areas. Well, we will be doing an oak tree count and providing that to with one of the arborists. A little bit further down, moving more towards Polaris, there's some really nice drays, there's some more deer running, but we also have deer sleeping in this area. I don't know if there'll be enough left to see that or not, So let's just take a look at this piece of bush for a minute. And this is where I just walked, from where the building starts, about two-thirds of the way down to where it stops. And I guess one of the things that I worry about is if the original plan the city had for a road allowance was in place, there would be a road off Polaris, where the blue line is. And if you put in 10 single-family lots, should the people on Buckingham have wished to develop, there's about three lots on the present church site, but the road takes out the oak trees and the forest is gone. So I think we need to look at areas. These are privately owned lots that go all the way through. So I think it just gives a little bit of a perspective in terms of the difference with multifamily. Look at the top, and what you get is commercial area. As a matter of fact, you can go almost a kilometer on the south side of Roblin, and there's six houses. So we are at the edge of a commercial periphery. Now, I'm a pretty strong supporter of we're not sure where the library is going to be, but we have a museum just down the street that's a real treasure of history, and we'd love to have access to some seniors to help us out. It's walking distance. So we may have a library. We've got a senior center that are walking distance from this area. That's a two-way asset and a win-win situation. And the question mark is something that I still worry about, because the two houses that are by the existing parking lot, things won't change. But I really do have some concerns for the impact of a three-story that's about 25 feet. And I would like an answer from the architect at some point on when you have sun rising in the morning, how much does that have a shadow effect? I know they're kind of architectural, just could they do something to reduce the effect? Because there's really two to three houses on Dieppe that I feel very badly for, that I think, and I do note there's no windows on the side. So I'll just wrap up. You can see the elevation on that side that's roughly 25 feet from the property line, and I don't know if they can do anything to adapt that. My last and closing points are to do with parkland, because this isn't parkland, it's private and church-owned property. And if we could make this a park, I don't know if this is the piece we would choose, even though it's beautiful, a beautiful piece. Just down past the Dieppe field, what you have is a hearthstone forest of about 60 acres. And we're not saving that much in Ridgewood South right now. So my last slide, this is just the other side of Ridgewood. It's a five-acre piece that's proposed in Ridgewood South, but we're losing our wetland, we're losing our prairie. We don't have access through prairie and wetland on either side, and that may be a place where we might want to try and augment our park. This is at the end of the Dieppe field. So deer that are displaced and animals that are displaced can move into this area, but only if we save it. And here's deer in one of the park places. My final shots here. Just give a context of Assiniboine Forest, Ridgewood South with the Hearthstone Forest, United Church property, and the Dieppe field. And I close with that slide saying habitat is very important to me, and I think there's still some work to do, but I'm thankful for the opportunity to consult, and I'm open for any questions.
Thanks, Len, for coming.
And it was close. For time.
Yeah. Thank you for being so thorough as well. So I understand that you're supportive with the five conditions then that you stated. Do you want to just give us those again quickly? Or put that... Did you have a handout with that?
I'm going to make a handout after.
I can get back there quickly.
You could email it to us.
Here it is.
That would be helpful. Okay.
Tree buffer on the east side, which the architect said that even though there's 70 feet there, but they will protect some trees and consult on it. So they need about 15 feet for construction, but they will look specifically at it. I asked some of the members of my Trails and Habitat Committee to come walking with me, but I ended up making an emergency trip to save a 13-year-old and couldn't do it. And then I went out in 47 below and took my videos, and I didn't really want to ask them or the architect to walk through the snow. The oaks protection, I think, will be something that's going to be important in a number of areas, and I welcome the initiative. Height of the buildings has been covered very well, except for I do have some real issues with the east side and the two or three residences that are so close, and I don't know if they can do anything with that. Road access improved off Dieppe. You saw what happened when we used the city's road access off Polaris. and this is a case where it took out the forest. And finally,
just to clarify that, number four, road access, you're supportive of off Dieppe, or?
I'm supportive of the route off Dieppe. I think the suggestion of turning right is a very good one. I don't think that is going to be a major traffic issue or a traffic issue or not. If we did go in off Polaris with single-family dwellings, the forest would be gone. So I think this is an example where sometimes if multifamily is done right, it may allow us to save more green space, and this might be one of those. And the biggest one, I was asked for a number of commitments, and what I said, I don't want to say yes or no to this or this or this. I trust that an ongoing process of consultation in a development like this means we'll go back to you.
And what does that look like to you then exactly? Spell that out a little bit more. Here's the plans, here's the drawings. If we approve this tonight, they begin construction. What does the consultation, at what point?
I'll be going in with the head of Trees Winnipeg and counting trees with some of my committee, looking at it, giving feedback on what we see as being the most important, the most savable. We'll do a heritage tree nomination. We'll do ongoing consultation on particularly the oaks and what steps might be taken, and we don't know until we see the site plan and how they're doing it.
This is the site plan, what they're presenting here.
But we need to see specifically, like, for example, the construction schedule. Uh-huh. If the grade is going to go up a foot and a half, that will kill our big oak trees.
Okay, so you're proposing doing a natural lands assessment then as part of it? Is that what number five?
Well, we were going to use an arborist and his expertise and some people in the community to give feedback.
So that's what you would like here? That's what you're asking for? Okay.
Any other questions?
Well, just a point of clarification. Okay. December 11th, Council approved a new lease agreement, 15-year term with Huntingdon Capital for the lease of 13,000 to 14,000 square feet in Charleswood Square at 4910. That's where your library is going.
Oh, mm-hmm. Okay.
That was approved last month.
Thank you very much.
Well, just for information.
Thank you.
Thanks, Lynn.
I should close by saying I'm very respectful of people who have problem with the height and the neighbours, and I'm very sympathetic to that as well.
Thank you. Okay, next, and I'm going to read these out, and if you're going to join us, come on down. If you're in favour, if you could just advise us verbally. T.D. Love. She's coming down. Margaret English. Are you here, Margaret? Oh, okay. Where did they go? Marge Wright? You're in favor? Don't wish to speak? Okay. Gertrude Deleuze? DE 809 Community Road. In favor. Okay. Thank you. Jeanette Labossier. In favor. Gary Watson. No Gary Watson. Well, he's given us his. Okay. Donna Davis. In favor. William Loxton. 166 Bloomer. Loxton. Marnie Manerich. In favor. Stan Fedorchuk. Michael Wilson. I think some just came for the reception. Anyway. All they wanted was coffee. Anyway. Thelma McAvoy. Betty Dodds. Harold Dodds. Diane Rankin. Bill Hannisil, 287 Barker. Cliff Hardy. Les Rankin. Rankin. Les Rankin. Patricia Shaw? In favor? Okay. Ron and Helen Hodge?
In favor.
Okay. Ada Hoses?
Hose?
H-O-H-S. H-O-H-S? Morales Blagigen? Sorry if I butchered your last name. No. Philip Shaw?
Favor.
Favor. Estelle Rivard? Favor. Grace Chetjik?
Favor.
Okay, sorry about that. Lovis Gerard? Marlene Tajadin? Tajadin? Thank you. In favor? Ima Kysaks? William Trimble? Henry Dick?
In favor.
Thank you. Marilyn Funk? Clifford Olson? In favor? Thank you, sir. Inga Marie Livingston?
In favor.
It looks like C.D. McLennan?
In favor.
Thank you. John Trimble? Raymond and Marion Jellins? Jenkins, I'm sorry. Thank you. Stephen Shaw. Don McLaughlin. Louise McLaughlin. Yeah. Jack Goods. Kelsey Fairbach. Thank you. Megan Wiley. Bo Mi Kim. Russell Jeffrey, Cindy McLennan, Heather McIsaac, Candace Houston, Burton Borodin, Dave Barton, Doreen Barton, Margaret Gibson, Gordon Gibson, Nancy Jeffrey, Harry McPhee, Norman Pohl, Mabel Jones, Philip Geis, Heather Geis, Herb Schellenberg, Marlies Kemner,
Kemner,
Carol Ledoux or LaRue,
in favor.
Thank you. Harvey Waterman, Joan Brenneman, Margaret Fisher, Diane Webb, Marilyn Greaves. Edie Wozni, sorry, Eddie, I guess. Jeffrey McLennan, Martha Houston, James Melvin, Howard Morrow, Irene Bake, Neil McMillan, Betty McMillan, Judy Palmer, Shane Neufeld, Clifford Charles Hattmeyer, Jeff Archambault, Reagan Archambault, sure, come on down. Okay, we'll keep going while they come. Jennifer Granger, Stan Hutton, thank you. Doug Moffat, Linda Moffat, Arlene Anton, Grant Buchanan, thank you, sir, Robert Goodkin, and I've got one left, Joe Johnson, Les Johnson. Ma'am, you have 5 minutes.
Thank you. I will not probably take the whole 5 minutes, as I'm sure you're all very happy to hear. I'll keep it very brief and formal. I don't have a prepared presentation for you or anything. My name is Regan Archambault. I am a real estate agent, actually, to provide a little bit different perspective. And as funny as you hear everyone speaking and you're hearing everyone talking about facts and figures and encroachments and easements and measurements, and it's all very much a numbers thing, we kind of forget about the very human element out of all of this. And that's, these are our moms and our dads and our grandmas and our grandpas that we're talking about in terms of affordable housing. And not just where are we going to put grandma now, but this is their life. This is where, you know, these folks have been and made their life in Charleswood for so many years. They want to continue their life here in Charleswood, and maybe they're at a point in their life where maintaining their very comfortable home just isn't an option for them, but this is where they've always done their banking, this is where they do their shopping, this is where they, you know, meet their friends for coffee and whatnot, and we've heard talk about museums and libraries, and these are all very much a part of a community. And I totally get the NIMBY thing, I totally get not wanting, you know, these things necessarily right in our backyard, but these people live in our backyard. It's all our backyard. It's all one big community, and this is home to a lot, for a lot of people that we're talking about. In our day-to-day work as realtors, we sit in many kitchen tables and talking with people who are looking, you know, there's been many times actually right in Charleswood that you're sitting talking to a couple that are looking at having to maybe move to another area because there just isn't the options right there for them where they would love to be able to stay and contribute right to that local economy, but it's just not an option for them because there's just nowhere to go. So when you're looking at, you know, getting towards the September of your years and maybe not wanting to even drive as much and wanting to make more use of public transportation, we can't be looking at always pushing it outside. It really needs to be right in the community. So I just thought I'd bring that other perspective. Thanks for your time.
Thank you. You have a question? Thank you. Nice presentation. Okay. Is there anyone else in support of the applicant that would like to make a presentation, speak for 5 minutes, share their thoughts? Seeing none, we will move to those people who have registered in opposition to the application. And likewise, if you wish to speak, please come forward. If you're in opposition, please state so. Lisa Bednar. All right, come on down. And we'll sort of start a queue here for folks who do want to speak. Arva Kalyanuk. Arva, are you here? No. Marie Alice Grasick. Nick Masniak. All right, so there's just a bench here. You can come on down.
I have some items for you. Can I bring them to you now?
I will come. Sure.
Pardon? Mr. Chairperson, is it all possible to have more than 5 minutes? I have many points I want to make to you.
And we said we'd be flexible on that. If there's someone who has a presentation and is prepared to go a little further, then we certainly will give you some leeway. So
Thank you.
Keep going when the bells ring.
Okay, I can't really see. Or is there a time clock? Oh, there is. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. My name is Lisa Bednar. I live at 533 Dieppe Road. I'm opposed to the rezoning of this land. This is not the right site for 64 condos. I'm not opposed to more seniors housing in Charleswood, but not on this piece of land at this density. My backyard faces the tree land behind Charleswood United Church parking lot. If this proposal goes through, I end up with I end up 30 feet away from a Masonic hall and looking at a three-story condo. This is not what I ever imagined the city of Winnipeg would do to my Charleswood home. I saved up the down payment for this home all by myself, and I worked too hard to see the value of our home go down because of this project. I am not against the church developing the land. If the land was developed for single-family homes, as it is zoned, I would not be here saying anything about that. It is landlocked because of their own past decisions, and I don't feel I should have to pay for these decisions. I have some analysis to share with you today that I've prepared. I have a master's degree in the social sciences, and for my thesis, I study the data on seniors that is given in the planner's report. My thesis was about Winnipeg seniors and their volunteerism and their contributions to our community. So I'm by no means, I'm aware of the lifestyle of seniors and how much they contribute to families and communities in Winnipeg and all across Canada. I've also worked as a researcher and policy analyst, so I have some background to give you my analysis of the project and how it has gone. I've handed you the slides, so we'll go to slide two now. Councillors, if you value your privacy and the value of your own home, you need to consider what it feels like to be in our shoes. The other thing I want you to think about is if you approve this proposal, you are telling residents of Charleswood and of the city that the land that is zoned in their area for R1 can be taken over by a developer and put in condos at a density of 30 more units per acre. The developer wants to tear down a house for their plan, so what stops any other developer from doing this again in the future? Next slide, please. This is not the right site for this project. It hasn't come to your attention yet today that this entrance is right across from the children who patrol the school in the morning and afternoon, and where the school buses load 5 to 12-year-old children, it is an accident waiting to happen. École Dieppe is growing. We're going to see more enrollment there. This is a heavily congested street in the AM and PM, and I welcome the planner and the developer and the architects and the supporters to see what we're talking about when the patrols are out and they're trying to manage traffic, low grade 6 kids. Next slide, please. The proposed project sets a precedent, and I have heard from my neighbors and people who live in Charleswood that they don't want this kind of precedent set. The density works out to 64 units and about 1.5 acres. It's very large because I understand the developer needs to recoup costs, and I understand the profit model and how that works. But we would pay the ongoing costs forever in terms of property values, in terms of the neighborhood, the enjoyment of the area, the children, the parents, everyone who works and lives in the area. And these are considered externalities in an economics model to a developer, so they aren't a cost to the developer, but they're a cost to the people who are already there and a cost to the children at École Dieppe School. Next slide, please. Oh, sorry. Sorry. That's okay. These are flyers for, these are the flyers that came to our home from the developer and the Masons. This story starts in March 2012 when a neighbor told us that the church was thinking of developing the land behind our house. And the first photo at top there is a photo of an insert given to the church members, not me, to remind them to come out and show support for much-needed seniors housing. Eventually, a flyer was delivered to our mailbox for the April 4th event, and this was the first communication from the developers to us. We were never informed of an October 2011 consultation, but my understanding is only church members could vote at that meeting, so I resent it being called a neighborhood consultation. I live in that neighborhood, and I wasn't invited or permitted to vote. Next slide, please. The much-needed seniors housing phrase is used on every flyer that we saw.
This vague phrase was chosen to garner support for a project which in reality is a very specific project. It is a for-profit life lease condo. It has a substantial cost up front, ongoing monthly costs that are prohibitive to many of our seniors today. I really feel I need to point this out because it hasn't been made clear. And in all honesty, I really don't think that a lot of people want to put the safety of children at risk. I just think that a lot of people don't have a lot of information about the project. The session I attended on April 4th was not an adequate information session or consultation. There were no images of the proposed building. Instead, a yellow square was placed on a photo of the area. I have critiques of the survey, but I want to fast forward to the fact that this duplicates the type of housing that already exists today. We already have independent living. This is not supported living. This is not assisted living. And I resent having those statistics mixed together. Yes, there are real needs of seniors, and I'd be happy to do a contract on the needs assessment of seniors in Charleswood because there are needs of seniors in Charleswood, but we have life lease options with Vasaland, Windmill Way, and Fairmont Woods. The concept aging in place was used in the planner's report, and as a researcher and academic, I can tell you the concept aging in place is typically meant to refer to aging in one's own home, so it's been misused to refer to moving to a life lease. And the very report that is cited in the planner's report, that report that you pulled from, states on page 2 that 89% of seniors want to stay in their own home as long as possible. And this is something that we're familiar with, the idea of staying in our home, staying with our ties, the emotional ties we have to our home, the memories we have there. And so aging in place is a real scientific term. It's a social science term that we use. It refers to staying in our home and staying in our community as a second choice. So I recognize that that is a real need of Charleswood seniors, and I am not against more housing in Charleswood, but this site is not the right place for this size and density, and lots of other people are going to speak to that. Next slide, please. So as I mentioned, there are vacancies already in Charleswood. There's opportunities at Vasaland that already are in place. Fairmont Woods has had vacancies. Windmill Way has had for sale signs, and these are all within 5 minutes of the proposed site. So it doesn't really increase the housing choice, and I would encourage you to do a needs assessment and further analysis if we're going to mix up and start talking about the needs of seniors, because it's very important to address the real needs of a population. I feel that the report had a lot of jargon and buzzwords, and there wasn't enough analysis to make the case as to why this condo complex has to go in this specific spot. Obviously, I stand to be quite dramatically affected, but we also live across from a LDF school, and we see what the congestion is out our own window, and we know that we want everyone to work and live safely, and this isn't the space for that to happen at this density. Next slide, please. So you were given demographics in the report, but I would urge you as a researcher to drill down into those and find out what percentage of the seniors have the means to purchase a unit in this complex. I wasn't able to do that analysis because the cost of these units was never revealed at any of the consultations or in any of the documents or any of the information I've looked at, and I've studied the reports and studied all of the information that we've been given about the proposed development. Given that they have to recuperate the cost, given the economic model that we're likely talking about, these are not for lower moderate income seniors. So when doing a needs analysis, we always have to pull out the population that's actually served. And that is a question I would have for the developer, is what percentage of the seniors that have been cited in the report are actually going to be potential customers, the target customer group for this complex. And not to confuse people by saying that this is helping all of the poor seniors of Charleswood. Page 23 of the planner's report, I went through the planner's report and read it as an academic again. Baby boomers do continue to age, and Canadians live longer than before. Hit the click. But again, sorry, what that says is that the majority of Canadians want to age in their own home. 83% of Canadians polled by the Royal Bank of Canada and just October 12, 2013 say that staying in their own home and paying for home care is the most appealing option for them. So again, it's important to use research when we're making big, important land use decisions. The respected urbanist Jane Jacobs was used. She was cited in your report. Jane Jacobs was actually, she is a respected urbanist. She was critical, but she was also critical of male-dominated spaces, and she was progressive in her views. She promoted mixed-income apartments, and so I don't want you to be misled about having items cherry-picked and given in report. She wasn't a fan of demolishing old buildings to make way for new ones, so I wonder what she would think about this report and of being cited in it. She's known for the phrase, eyes on the street, and if you look at where the condo building is going, I would ask the developer what street the residents will have their eyes on, since they won't have their eyes on anything except my backyard and my neighbor's backyards. Page 2 of that study, again, says that 89% of baby boomers say they want to grow old in their own homes. And that data is recent, so those are people aging today. Those are the target audience for this condo. And again, it's important to make important land use decisions based on correct information, based on thorough analysis. And I would urge you to ask for that kind of analysis when we're making important land use decisions. I don't have a better survey for you prepared. The survey had a lot of issues, which I've talked about in my slide that I handed over to you. This slide that I prepared shows you a better advertising flyer that contains more specific information about the proposed project. I think that the sharing of the parking lot and the entrance facing the school bus drop-off zone where school patrols manage traffic each day is problematic and needs your careful consideration. Thank you.
Questions. Okay. Councillor Hattie.
Yes, thank you for your presentation. I have lots of questions for you. on page 2 of your handout, you state that the entrance directly across from patrols and school buses loading 5 to 12-year-old children is an accident waiting to happen. Can you tell me what you've observed, who you've reported it to? I can tell you that I've been working with 11 schools in Charleswood, Tuxedo, and White Ridge who have traffic concerns. I have not heard from this principal or from the director of Sunnyside about any traffic concerns or from any of the neighborhood. So in my 3 years plus, I've been coming up with signs and traffic analyses and what we can do to make an area better. And I have not had any complaints from the school. Can you clarify? Because that's a harsh statement that right. It's an accident waiting to happen.
And I should clarify that what I'm talking about is the addition. What I'm talking about is the scenario where the entrance to the condo building would be across from where those patrols and the school buses are. So at the moment, right now we have the school buses using that space and the patrols patrolling the area. But what I perhaps wasn't clear about was with the addition of the added traffic and with the exit and entrance being right to where that bus turns and loads the kids, I was referring to that scenario.
So we get an opportunity near the end to ask the planners questions about that, so I'll raise that then. In your next slide, you say, why is it so large, revenue for the developer, who pays the cost? What cost are you referring to that this will generate?
So I'm referring to several costs, economic and non-economic. So in terms of economic costs, we have talked to real estate agents that have indicated that having that condo could very likely bring down the property value of the homes around it. But in terms of other costs, we're talking about different, there's things that other people want to speak to, so I don't know if I'll go into that in detail. Site pollution and the cost of having the extra traffic, and there's people I know who want to talk to that more in detail.
So, but what is the cost that you're making a claim that this will generate? I just want to be clear in my mind what you mean.
Okay, so the cost would be certainly the cost in terms of privacy, in terms of the difference between single-family homes being back there, which I've never, ever said I've been opposed to, and having 64 condo units and Masonic Lodge and visitors, because all of that increases exponentially when you've got 64 residents in that little space. And so the cost in terms of privacy, in terms of noise pollution, in terms of light pollution, and kind of the change to the experience of being able to enjoy our backyards.
On page 5, you mentioned vacancies for similar independent condos, Vasa Lund, Fairmont Woods, Windmill Way. What do you base that on?
Vacancies?
Yeah.
Okay, so we have checked and stayed on top of what the whether there are units for sale at Fairmont Woods, and there have been units for sale at Fairmont Woods throughout the process of finding out throughout the last year. There have been for sale signs in front of Windmill Way, I would say, without like much of a break. So there had been opportunities to buy units at Windmill Way throughout the last year.
And are you aware of the turnaround time on those sales?
We know that one unit at Vasa Lund has been on the market for over a month. So,
okay. And the average is 27 days, according to the agents I talked to, on the two properties. On Vasa Lund, it's a five-year waiting list. Are you aware of that?
Vasa Lund actually has two phases. Yeah. So phase one, I'm aware, is very hard to get into, but yeah. Phase two is taking applications as we speak.
Great. And on page 6, you have the percentage of or aggregated demographics are not justification. We will ask the developer about this then in our questions to them at the end on who the units are geared to. I don't think I heard in their presentation that they were geared to a certain demographic, so I'm not sure that they are excluding anyone in particular.
No, not actively excluding anyone, but we know that for any housing level, like I can't buy a $2 million home because it costs too much. So just a cost prohibitive in that, in the sense that...
So all they did share, I think, was that they were around 1,100 square feet.
Right.
So we'll find out what their price point is or how they're navigating that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's all I have.
That's great. Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you.
Appreciate your presentation. Nick.
Councillors, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
Just
state your name and your address.
My name is Nick Mazniak. I am 68 years old. I live at 62 Ellenvale Crescent. I own my home.
Great.
I have been a resident of Charleswood for 39 years. My wife, Penny, born Fraser, from Coventry Road, is a third-generation Charleswood resident. Attended DF school, Charleswood Collegiate, hung out at the Dairy King in the Village with Bill Clement and the gang. She has been recognized by the Charleswood Historical Society, who we heard from earlier, in 2008 by being awarded an honorary member for her 58 years as a Charleswood resident. We were married in the Charleswood United Church in July of 1970 by Reverend Hughes. Our son Joel is a fourth generation Charleswood resident. He attended River West Park Elementary, Oak Park Collegiate, and the U of M. He has recently taken on a mortgage as he and his partner and their son chose to invest in a home in Charleswood. Does this provide me with enough standing for these procedures?
Go for it.
I am probably seen as a prime candidate for one of these units. I am here to speak in opposition. I could never live in this development, and I feel a lot of my contemporaries wouldn't live in this development. Having said that, I am in no way opposing this type of facility for people like me. That would be simply indefensible, just not at this location. Question for the councillors. How many school buses park at Dieppe School?
You can tell them. We'll take his question.
We'll take your question under advisement.
Follow-up question?
Yes, sir.
No. Where do the buses park?
In front of the school, I guess.
In front of the school? Handout? Just for the councillors.
This is him presenting.
Just that. That's all. I have three copies.
This does not.
Sorry, I don't have the visual. The only access and exit this development to this development is off Dieppe via a new road to be built on what is now 521 Dieppe Road, a resident which will be demolished, tax revenue and frontage levy lost, directly across from Dieppe school entrance. The City of Winnipeg Public Transportation Division engineers state that, quote, the proposal will generate approximately 223 new vehicle trips per day. Will anyone here voting on, recommending, or supporting this development absolutely guarantee the safety of these children? If no one can do that, you're rolling the dice, hoping for the best when it comes to the safety. This is a risk we will be choosing to put in front of them by approving this project. It does not now exist. Here are some questions to ask yourselves. As you can see, people will be approaching Dieppe directly across from the school buses parked on the north side of the school, right in line with that roadway. Do car brakes fail? Do car engines race unexpectedly vis-a-vis Toyota's lawsuits? Do drivers' snowy feet sometimes miss or fall off brake pedals? Do drivers sometimes lose control of their vehicles due to medical crisis? Were the parents of these children ever informed of these plans? Should they have a voice here? The issue of school children's safety was raised by the neighborhood residents. See page 15 of the Planning Department report, bullet 5, listed as concerns raised. The Planning Department was devoid of any narrative as to the acknowledgement of the seriousness of this concern or how it would be addressed. It appears that the intention was to sweep it under the rug and hope no one noticed. The 17-page report consisted primarily of instructing all of the city departments on what they needed to do to support the passage of this proposal. Frankly, I find ignoring this concern irresponsible, unprofessional, and incompetent, and throws into question the validity of this report in its entirety. The decision to consciously overlook this identified issue is now public record. Aging in place. How do the managers plan to restrict residency to me and others like me living in Charleswood to the exclusion of others living elsewhere? The whole basis for the arguments I heard is this: it's for Charleswood seniors to stay in Charleswood. I'm not a lawyer, but I suspect that there are laws against refusing tenancy based solely on where you come from. Realistically, anyone with an entry fee will get a unit coming from anywhere in the world. How does this just benefit a Charleswood elder currently living in our community? The majority of tenants could be from areas other than Charleswood. If so, then this facility is not going to be for the Charleswood seniors' benefit. and the rationale for its existence is flawed and consequently invalid, and the neighborhood will have been sacrificed, children's safety will have been compromised, just to benefit only those who can write an entry check, as well as the stakeholders in the development. The claim that this is solely for the benefit of Charleswood seniors is quite simply lipstick on a pig. If the sole reason for this development is to allow Charleswood seniors to stay in Charleswood, the best way for this to happen would be to work in partnership with Vassalon Place to expand their project to include Masons and church members who need this kind of facility. It has all of the benefits and none of the shortcomings that this project has, and they would certainly have my interest. The City Planning Department states that a single structure of 73,600 square feet of suites plus common space plus meeting rooms equaling 98,000 square feet plus underground parking on 2.1 acres of land is consistent with the character of the neighborhood. Quote, complementary to the existing scale, single building, character, and build form. They also want to add 3 feet for cosmetic reasons, adding rouge to the big. I guess they concede at 35 feet, it's ugly. Huh? How can this be? Just saying this is laughable. Did I miss something here? I don't see it. I don't understand it. What planet is the author of this statement from? Give me a break. Consistent, single structure, 100,000 square feet. This neighborhood is comprised of 26 single-family homes. 3 are two-story. All the rest are bungalows. 100,000 square foot against this. Average size is approximately 1,500 square feet. This community is the essence of Charleswood. It is why Charleswood residents live here. It is for this style of community that some wish to age in place here. Ironically, follow me, the developer wants to destroy a prime example of why people want to age in place here, to house people who want to age in place here. It is incomprehensible on any level that these horizontally opposed entities can be considered complementary. I would be embarrassed to put such a statement in writing, let alone state it as the key rationale behind approving this development. How is this statement qualified? What are the standards used to make such a statement? Is it simply somebody's opinion? Councillors, we are unique in who we are as a community. Our council should recognize, embrace, and protect this. There are a number of options for Charleswood, in Charleswood, for anyone wanting to age in place. For example, and we talked about Vassalon Place. I talked to these people directly.
Are we close to the end of your presentation, sir?
Pardon?
Aren't we close to the end? Because
we are.
Okay.
Maybe 2 more minutes.
Great.
Vassalon Place, announced in 2010, has received a grand total, 2010, of 12 expressions of interest. That's formal expressions of interest, where people came forward, wrote a check, and said, I want a unit. That's out of 57 planned units. And they are currently re-engineering their financing model by reducing the buy-in requirements as an attempt to increase low demand. Simple economics. Low demand, low pricing. High demand, high pricing. They're lowering. If you want a unit, anybody, call Mr. John Vandekooy, cell phone 470-3333. You can have one guaranteed for you tomorrow. He'll be happy to take your check. He will be more than happy to give you all the information you need with full disclosure of what your money will be used for, given the real life, low interest level, and declining ROI for this type of housing in Charleswood, one would have to wonder if proper due diligence has been done as regarding the business case for this venture. One last paragraph. Winnipeg needs well thought out projects in light of recent development fiascos. The bar will be raised for our future civic leadership. They will be held accountable by demonstrating to Winnipeg voters there are better ways to do things than Phil Schlegel and company was permitted to do. If allowed to proceed, all decision makers associated with this project will have failed to demonstrate the desired attributes needed to grow this city in a responsible way. We ask our councillors to show that you have the vision and wisdom to separate rhetoric from reality, now and in the future, by rejecting this zoning bylaw. Let this property develop as our predecessors envisioned it when it was zoned R1L. Thank you for allowing me to compress 39 years of experience into my 10-minute presentation in defense of my community.
Thank you, sir. There are no questions. We appreciate your presentation.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to adjourn for 20 minutes. We'll be back at 7:20.